dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to show 275 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox. I will get to introduce the two other gentlemen who will join us momentarily, but first I want to tell you that this and all of our shows are brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. All kinds of fun under one roof. Located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn to the west there. Open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and you can give them a call for more information at 740-773-7529 or look them up on the web, where their address is triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. And now, as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to welcome in Mr. John Bruce, the second of a threesome here. John, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Just got home from dominating a family outing and the games of Minute to Win It.
Okay.
Feeling pretty good about myself today. So,
well, we got that going for us. And then congratulations, first of all, on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, good. We want to say hello as well to Shane Combs. Shane, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Busy week. Ready to talk some top, a little different show this week. Last week, I think we said over 100 names of past and present. And this week, some more topics in the news, some big things that come up, and some that we haven't had, Bruce, which is unique, right? Usually everything we come across, we have something to recall a time where we had to talk about it. This week, I don't know if that's the case.
Well, that's true. What about, I was just interested in kind of hearing what the feedback was from last week. I imagine it was is different.
The feedback was, it was different. It was fun. It was something that everybody could relate to. You know, a lot of times feedback, you'll run into some people that maybe they don't have a certain experience or a certain, you know, everybody that listens to the show is able to recognize today's athletes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, depending on the age of the listener, they had their time period, or even people that maybe didn't play or didn't grow up in the area, they wanted to know more about them. You know what I mean? I even had a couple people say, "Hey, I heard you mention so-and-so. Tell me a little bit more about that person," or whatever, that player. And so that was kind of fun too. So yeah, if you haven't had a chance to listen to last week's show, I didn't count them, John. But I had someone tell me it had to be close to about 140 people, past and present, in terms of just players and athletes. So yeah, it was a lot of fun to do.
John, did you have anybody hit you up on any of that?
Just a couple people just asking about just certain players. I did have a kind of funny response from one of my co-coaches on one of the teams. One of my co-coaches, one of the coaches I work with on one of the team comparisons. But after we discussed it, so it was pretty close. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was, I had a lot of fun with the show, some good feedback, and just, I like doing things like that every once in a while.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. Mentioned a lot of blasts from the past, and as I mm-hmm. gave you guys kudos, I was talking to somebody at some point during the week, and I was just amazed that you guys were able to pull different people. Of course, you had a little time. I realized that. We knew what we were going to do ahead of time pretty much. You're not that good. But just to bring all those names back, and some of them were in your youth as well. And that I have to give you guys kudos for pulling that off last week. That was kind of fun. Well, what about agenda this week, Shane? You touched on it a little bit different, but you want to mention as well our sponsors who are going to bring it to us.
Well, the agenda is a little bit different. If you're more of the names and the teams and different things like that, again, I would encourage you to go back to listen to last week if you haven't. This week, we'll certainly still have that as always. We'll go through a segment at a time, and we'll lean on North Fork Animal Clinic and Advanced Services and Crown Hill Golf Club for each segment. But as I go through, I think we start with Advanced Services, where we're going to take a look at we have our first champion. We look at the Lady Shermans there, and we look at some other things in the Girls League, and look at the boys down the stretch run. And then, you know, as I scroll down through the agenda, I know the North Fork Animal Clinic section, we start to look at the tournament, the new format, and with the girls' brackets coming out today, and we prepare for the boys next week. That's something we, you know, we do quite a bit. And then something that's really unique to my knowledge of our decade on the air, well, show 275 today, it's I don't remember us having illness. We've always had the weather talk, and we've always had different policies and people questioning. So it does compare to that a little bit. But with all the flu and the different ways it's impacted the local area in basketball, that's going to be interesting to not only hear John's thoughts, but I'm looking forward to giving some of mine and just kind of getting some of the feedback there. Because, again, most topics, as I said at the beginning – most topics that we go over on here, they may be new to our current audience, but they're things that we've talked about somewhere in the previous 274 shows. So to have one that's that unique, that's really interesting to me. So again, I always want to thank people like Advanced Services and North Fork Animal Clinic, Crown Hill Golf Club for all they do. And then, of course, Triple Crown for making the entire thing possible over the years. But to be at show 275 tonight, really cool. Really enjoyed last week's show. But I think tonight's show can be just as interesting, just with a different spin in terms of some topics and instead of maybe so many of the past and present names.
And as if you've not guessed, we are recording on Sunday afternoon, the 2nd. Of February 2020, a night of the Super Bowl, when we'll touch up on that and get the guys, you know, I just saw where someone named John Bruce has tweeted out already his prediction, so we might go there as well. But up first, guys, this week, we're going to honor our first conference champion of 2020. And our first segment, as Shane kind of alluded to, brought to you by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. They're available on the web, advancedservicesHVAC.com, or you can give them a call, 877-947-4499. They're celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio, and you can schedule a consultation on their website today. Or tomorrow, or any day. That's Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Again, 877-947-4499. Haven't had too much call, as we mentioned, for the heat. Today, you might even just have your windows open, as it's probably about, 62 degrees outside this afternoon. Well, as Shane mentioned, we have our first league champion to congratulate. Coach Jeff Miller and his Uniota Lady Shermans have clinched. Guys, let's talk a little bit about the team. Give us your thoughts on this team. Shane, we'll go to you first.
Well, I think my thoughts on this team is just their longevity, their consistency. I think that as I look back through the year, it's not just this year that jumps out at me. It's really their long term, just their consistency of dominance. When you look at all of the different factors that play a role, I think experience starts to come. What, John, 6 seniors, is that right?
Yes.
You've heard me so much talk about their backcourt, but it's hard not to start there, along with the versatility of a Cree Stolle as well. But you know, when you look at the likes of Emily Coleman, how her game's evolved, I think as a coach, I always appreciate the way the kids take things and are able to add to their game. You know, she was a kid that had high basketball IQ from the word go early in her career. maybe had to adjust a little bit more as a shooter, and she certainly started to add that to her game. And as she did, she became really difficult to guard. Then her backcourt made Amber Cottrell. We kind of talked about this, John, last week, that perhaps the biggest compliment you can give somebody is them being so unique that they don't really compare to anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think her intangibles and some of the different things, you know, she's the type of kid that can dominate a game without really taking a shot. And then the versatility of Cree Stolle, we've talked so much about her and her career. Some people at times will say she's been overlooked, and I get that. But I also think there's times that the expectation that was put on her from day one of her freshman year because of how talented she was and still is, probably has a lot to do with that. But make no mistake about it, she's so versatile, and she's so skilled, so talented. All of these kids I'm talking about are just nightmare matchups. And then you go down through the depth of the team. We mentioned the athleticism that complements them of a Pinkerton, and then a Paul and the board and some athletes like that. Well, then not to mention the unique skill set of an Avery Miller that plays with them. They become impossible to match up with. They become impossible to junk defense. You know what I mean? Who you're going to keep, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times in a junk defense, you guard two or three kids and you just dare two or three kids. You dare one of those five kids, you know, to shoot the ball all night, they'll score 15 or 20 against you. It's a really complete team. They do it with defense. They do it with unselfishness. So statistically, they won't always ooh and ah you, because again, there's the one ball to go around, but collectively, when you put it all together, it adds up to a lot of winning. I'm sure they feel like they have some unfinished business ahead of them. We'll get to the tournament draw here in a little bit. Certainly not going to be an easy road, but certainly what they've done in terms of league, very, very, very impressive. So, which again, congratulations to them. You know, they'll go for the gold ball later this week. I'm sure Coach Miller appreciated the announcement last night, but
that was going to be my first point. Was going
to
be that.
So I'll go ahead and pass it to you, John. But again, congrats to them and just an outstanding group of young ladies.
Yeah, I rarely hear what's being announced, but that I did hear during a timeout, and I made eye contact with a couple of the players, and they went from happy to not happy with that announcement of that they had won the gold ball before the season had actually completed. So, they'll be going for the gold ball on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Have not got there yet, despite what was announced at our game last night. Just really, really smart, passionate kids. You could just tell how much it means to them. Every day in practice, because we come in after them. A lot of them typically stay around, get some extra shots in. They show a great passion for just the game of basketball, too, because they're at every game. Most nights, you'll see at least two of them at Unioda for the freshman game on. And, yeah, it's possibly or probably to help get a good seat in the student section, but also at the same time, they're there like rooting on the kids, and you can just tell how much the school pride and just the love of basketball means to them. And Coach Miller does a great job with them. Also you have Jeff Davis, Jimmy White, Steve Seitz there, with the program as well. Guys that have a lot of passion for, helping the kids grow as players. And then also they went through some adversity, with Riley Davis. She tore ACL a second time, mm-hmm. shortly before the season. Chris Wheeler came in and, she obviously tore hers during, volleyball season. And then Erin Callahan, I think was going to be kind of, you know, she was going to be a depth player, but had really worked hard and was going to be able to help them because she came on late in the year last year. But she had all kinds of hamstring issues throughout soccer. And then I think it kind of came up late in the preseason to where, none of those three have been able to give them any minutes. So even even though they're going to graduate six seniors, that's three pretty darn good players that they're going to have come back next year that haven't seen any time. You know, so I don't know if they'll take a big step back, obviously with the experience and everything, but one of the 34 straight games in the league, going back to when they lost to Southeastern, when this group, when they were sophomores, lost to them at home, or lost to them at Southeastern and then beat them at home on a summer segment three that was a senior at the time. That was actually a pretty big upset because they had lost pretty bad the first time.
Right.
And it was just, but they just grew as players and they've been pretty dominant since then. And I do enjoy watching Amber Cottrell's evolution into more of an offensive scoring threat over even just last month. They've been really, really fun to watch. Great kids and really happy for Jeff and his staff as well.
Yep. And the only other thing I would throw in there, Bruce, is I purposely left 2 points out that I wanted to come back because I wanted to ask, I wanted to give John a chance to, you know, give his overview, but then I wanted to really talk to John about these 2 points. Number one, I purposely left out Alexis Miller. Here's a kid that is the perfect type of championship player that I'm talking about. Like she gives a weapon that, for lack of a better term, that she protects the stars. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it's one of those things of, you know, she's the type of kid that could literally hit 4 or 5 threes in a game if you started trying to junk defense, and she's proven that earlier in her career. So a lot of teams don't even try it. You see what I'm saying? Like it's so she adds that type of dimension. And then not to mention what the depth of kids like her and the IQ adds to a practice setting and so forth. Now, you started to make a little bit of my second point. I thought this is where you're going, but you talked about the injuries and you talked about the depth of the program. You know, I don't think this team's going to be as down as people think they're going to be next year. This team's ability to reload, particularly maybe not nearly as good basketball wise, or at least unproven basketball wise, but to reload athletically is very, very realistic, is it not?
Oh yeah, and I mean because those are all really good athletes anyway, and then you have a player like a Paris DeBoard, who won 4 events last year in track. That'll be coming back. Who's played a little bit this year. We obviously had been in a bigger role. Avery Miller started all year and she's been really good. Another 3-sport athlete that's really good. Carly Renner, man, she's fast and you know just flies all over the place. And you know they have a pretty good 8th grade group coming up. They have a decent JV team. You know the depth of athletes is really fantastic, and I'm glad you mentioned Alexis. I did feel terrible for her for the other day because she gets a start, and then on the first possession she blocks a shot, and on the player's follow through goes down with an injury, and you could tell it was really bothering her. She wasn't able to play much, and you know it's hard to see that for a kid that's put in so much to it on their senior night, but she has been just a fantastic weapon for them. Because I mean, really it's when she comes in, they run some specials for her, they run some plays, and she typically either knocks it down or teams sell out on it and they get a shot inside out of it because they know how good of a shooter she is, how good of a shooter she can be. And she does a really good job in her role. You know, it's with and also, you know, we talk about Coleman, Cottrell and Stolle a lot. Jersey Paul's just been outstanding. And Hallie Pinkerton, she either guards the other team's best or second best perimeter player. And just I don't think she worries about scoring. Right. Yeah. And just those are the type of players you need to have the success that they've had over the 14-game grind the last 2 years is good role players that buy into their role and can excel at it.
Hmm. All right. Again, congratulations to Jeff and the UNITO Lady Shermans. Guys, what else do we need to pay attention to with the girls down the stretch? We'll go to Shane for this.
I think it's the improvement of the other teams. I think it's the other teams have really improved the overall product and showcases a little bit of what the future of this league is going to have to offer. It's a league that's been a little bit behind throughout the Southeast District in recent years, and I think what I would be paying attention to is just the growth. I think the level that Southeastern's played at this year is very, very impressive. We've highlighted them with their big three of Graves, Heiss, and Huff, not to mention the point guard play of Mitten with the size that they present with the Skeens and Bells. But really, as I go down the list, you know, the way Adina and Zane Trace's programs have taken giant steps back to where we're used to them being, John. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. Adina's maybe a year ahead of that. I could certainly see Zane Trace continuing to come in the future here, but both of those programs starting to play at a higher level, and then not to mention some of the other programs that continue to grow. I know, like a lot of people were asking me about the Piketon Paint Valley game the other night. There was some really good young talent on the floor in that game, mm-hmm. from both teams, and obviously the ending there where Volgamore makes the special play. It was just ironic that we had that show last week and the high praise and some of the high bar I was setting. But I think if you watch that young lady play, you certainly can see what I'm talking about. It's just there's a real, real special talent there. And, you know, the athletes have that it factor sometimes where mm-hmm. certain times the game's on the line and certain people go and I kind of want it, but I maybe don't, you know what I mean? Like, and then there's other kids be like, well, yeah, I'll do that. Give me that. You know what I mean? It's one of those. It's that was impressive. But when I view a Volgamore and a Reisner and a Lamerson and Johnson and Jenkins and some of those kids, and I give a tip of a cap to, Ali Ritchie. We talked about Hannah Stark a lot throughout the year. I think Ritchie as a senior has a lot to be said for her too, in terms of the way that the chemistry of that team's come together, and on that senior night, the way they respected her. And you know, and then I continue to look. I think Huntington's non-league schedule, probably with the attention that Allison Basie gets, has probably put them in a position to maybe not have the best of overall record. And we'll talk about tournament in a little bit, and if that benefits them or doesn't benefit them. But I think those are some of the things that come across. John, when in your reaction here at the girls, it starts with Uniota, it ends with Uniota, but then there's almost like another separate conversation of mm-hmm. Southeastern kind of leading a batch of teams that seem to be on the uptick, maybe not here in 2020, but certainly in the years to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that the league is on its way back in a good way, because there's just so much young talent in the league, and kind of spread out as well. Because I mean, you look at what Westfall has, and that sophomore group's really good. You know, just they have to get some more the depth of athletes out there, but that's a good sophomore group to go with. Adina's good sophomore group. I think you guys have a nice sophomore group out at Paint Valley. And then obviously Basie being a sophomore, the freshman out at Piketon. It's just, I think the league is going to continue to get better. Adina's got a really long run of athletes coming through also. So they're set to, have a chance to go at the top of the heap for the next few years. I think the league has gotten better throughout the year. And I do think that, we could see a little bit more success in the tournament than I think people are expecting because of kind of the non-league stuff as well.
John, why don't you give us your thoughts on the boys now as we near the end of the season for them?
Well, I just try to figure out why certain games are canceled, why some aren't.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. But you know, it's still a dogfight because man, that Adina team plays hard. I mean, obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with the Smith family after the accident this week. And you know, they have maybe a little bit more to play for, even though obviously, with things like that, you realize it is still just a game, and there's more to life to it. Mm-hmm. But man, they play hard. And that's, you know, with Zane Trace going to Adina on Friday, that's going to be a dogfight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Zane Trace is obviously going to be ready. And they're outstanding, obviously. But, you know, that's going to be that place is going to go. They're going to be a raucous crowd. And that should be a great atmosphere to be in on Friday night. I do think that kind of the I guess we'll say the bottom half of the league is kind of crazy, as you don't know what's going to happen. The Westfall game winner against Paint Valley last night kind of shows that, you know, just you don't think like just you don't think an inbounds pass is going to get stolen in that situation. But a big play by Casey Klein, a freshman to watch for Westfall. And they've been through some really tight games lately. You know, obviously the big win over at Adina last week, lost a tight win to West Jefferson during the week, and then winning that in the last few seconds last night, shows that Westfall's a really tough team to beat. And kind of you never know what's going to happen in the league, like Southeastern leading at the end of the first against Piketon, and then Piketon just going crazy after that, kind of dominate that game. That's one of the crazier score lines that I think I've ever seen. That's why I love that you put the quarter by quarter stuff on the website, Shane, because it's just, you know, you think, oh, a game that ends with that score was never going to be close, even if it's just for a quarter. But no, Southeastern's ahead. And,
yeah,
you know, and Piketon's a good team, so I was really impressed with the kind of the deficit or the distance that Zane Trace was able to put with them. From what the report I got on the game was, it sounded like they did a lot of what they did against us, which was this the relentlessness on the offensive glass. I was told Triton Davidson was just unbelievable last night. So shout out to him for another really good game, as he's really stepped it up late in the season.
Shane, what's your thoughts on the boys' side?
Well, I had about three sets of things in my notes here. I'll try to go through quickly. One, I just wanted to comment on with Uni at Adina last night. The pregame was outstanding in terms of two different things. One, started with the Hall of Fame situation, the 1994 Union of Baseball team. That's a group that means a lot to me, because a lot of my really good friends that I graduated with in a year later there in 95, I had made some decisions with baseball, and I know with John and your family there in summer baseball, as well as with a ton of those guys. I grew up playing Little League with the Rangers and then played some high school baseball early in my career, and it was no secret how much I was into basketball and how many different things I did. And looking back on the golf and the basketball and the championships I won with those teammates, that was fine. But what the baseball program will always mean to me in a different way was that was about the time with Coach Neff and Coach Taylor and then some of those friends that I really jump-started early my coaching career. And a lot of behind-the-scenes and tutoring and different things that Don Neff started to give me, and some scouting opportunities and some statistical work. And those will be things that, gosh, I always look back as the foundation of what's turned into a 25-year baseball coaching career. So seeing some of those friends and some of those classmates was really cool. And then obviously the prayer and the different things that took place with the two communities. I just thought that was what really makes the SVC so unique. And again, thoughts and prayers continue to go there. And then, you know, the game itself was outstanding. I thought the game last night represented exactly what, in my opinion, will go on to make Uniota an outright or co-champion in this league this year, and that's just their depth. They just keep coming at you. The game completely changed halfway through the first quarter when Throckmorton got his second foul, because Adina just didn't have the type of depth to just keep coming the way Uniota. They almost remind you of a college or MBA type of rotation in their substitution where, you know, they basically have 9 to 10 guys. They just keep running the match. If foul trouble's irrelevant, they just keep coming. You think about the knockout punch, John, when Adina mm-hmm. looked like they were going to go away in the third quarter and they came back and got it to 2. If you think about the knockout punch, it kind of came from Park, Jeremy Lambert, some mm-hmm. of those hustle plays. Kaiser made a hustle play to stop the bleeding one time. You know, so obviously Little and Lambert and the board and some of those normal stars were right there the whole night. But it's just the depth is what comes to my mind in terms of just overwhelming. I know my mojo recognition, not just for last night, but just really over the last 3 to 4 weeks. To me, the Kaiser kid, John, you tell me mm-hmm. if I'm wrong, he almost encompasses everything that makes this Uniota team who they are in yes. terms of kind of what he does and his role. And so obviously when you have a special player like Little and what I know I'm point guard biased, Bruce, and people joke with me all the time about that. But you're talking about a kid that just dominates the entire game without ever taking a shot. So let alone he could score 15 to 20 on any given night. He just takes the entire – he has such an understanding of what Coach Hoops and his staff want in terms of tempo and style. And he just can almost take a game over without even taking a shot. It's really impressive to watch. So hats off to Uniota and as they become huge favorites here to get to 13-1 and keep the pressure on Zane Trace. And John, I agree with what you said. I thought that was as hard as I'd seen Adina play on the defensive end. I thought mm-hmm. they competed so hard. You know, Bennett's a terrific talent. Sykes is a tough kid. And I think, you know, Garrison gives length and Throckmorton, I was really impressed with him defensively earlier. He just, like I said, he just had trouble staying on the floor and maybe got a little bit too aggressive at times, but, that's a team with they're battle tested. We'll see what their draw ends up. The McDonald kid's certainly a nice young player. And,
McKee had a great night, and then that was
going to be my final thing last mm-hmm. night is I thought what was neat was McKee kind of kept them in it in two different stretches. I thought mm-hmm. once in the first half with a nice stretch and then in the second half too. So it was a great basketball game. That I'm glad I had a chance to watch. And then as I go down through, you know, Zane Trace is they're really good. I think early in the year teams were able to win tempo against them. And I think the way they looked at that is, okay, if you're not going to hurt us in transition at all, we're just going to start pounding the offensive glass against you. And be relentless there, and we're going to try to do things to quicken the tempo a little bit. And so some of the things they went through earlier in the year has probably been a good thing. And then John mentioned some of the other things that I mentioned on down the league. It's got to be weird for some of these teams not to practice, which we'll talk a little bit more about later, or to get to play. Scheduling's kind of weird back and forth. You know, we joked at Paint Valley that it wasn't a very good week for us boys or girls in terms of buzzer beaters. We're on the wrong end of a couple of those wins. And then the Westfall team continues to be a little bit of a mystery, but give them credit because they hung in there at a point in the year when I watched them 2 or 3 weeks ago where I thought it was going to get away from them, and credit to them, it hasn't. So those are some of the things across the notes that in the boys league, I'm excited to see down the stretch here, and we'll be talking. I know some girls tournament, but it'll be this time next week. We'll have an idea for the boys as well. So it's that time of year where it's one of my favorite sports months coming up here from right around the middle of February to the middle of March. I think it's one of the real cool sports times every year.
The second season, and as we talked earlier today, we're recording on Sunday. It's Selection Sunday for the girls. And up next, we're going to analyze the brackets. In this section of the podcast, as we analyze the brackets for the girls' side, brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. You can give them a call at 740-773-7387, or you can look them up on the web at northforkanimalclinic.com. We certainly do appreciate their continued support of the podcast. And as we get into the tournament, lo and behold, we have what many are calling a new format. And let's talk first about that format a little bit, guys. I'm going to just throw it out there. Do you like it? Do you hate it? And either way, why? And I'll just toss it up.
John, why don't you first? John, you're a little bit better at this stuff than me. Are you comfortable kind of explaining the new format a little bit to the fans?
Yeah. So I think people have wanted a super sectional for a while, kind of making it to where you can pick your own path, because there's different years where one sectional is much better than the other, and yet they would still get the same amount of teams out. Mm. So I know if we're looking at, let's say in boys, it'd be the Southeastern and Logan or the Waverly and Jackson sectionals. Well, some years the Waverly sectional is not very good. Mm. And then the Jackson sectional is just loaded, and then vice versa other years. So it makes it to where your best teams, quote unquote, have the best chance to get to the convo, to where you have, instead of having, you know, maybe just a not very good team, even as a Cinderella, make it through. Now, you still have the opportunity to have like the Cinderella run like Southeastern had a few years back, because you still were going to play those really good teams to get there. Mm-hmm. But it is going to be a little easier, I think, for the higher seeds to, or lower seeds, whichever way you want to look at it, the better record teams to get through. Now, instead of being in one or in two separate sectionals, they're actually in one big sectional. So in D2, D3, D4, you know, in D2, it's like they get seeded 1 through 18. D3 has like 32 teams in it, I think. So it's, you get seeded 1 through 32. And then it kind of goes the NCAA bracket style of one place would play 32, two plays 31, and then they would play the winner of 15 and 18. However, it kind of breaks down. So it's kind of, in my opinion, harder to actually kind of group up as a league to get it how you want it. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's more interesting that way. So I like it in a way. I think it gives us the best chance to get teams out, get the best teams out. But at the same time, I we're still the only district that does it this way. Every other district, you get to pick where you play, when you play, and then other teams kind of come in through there after that. So I like that the Southeast District, for the first time in, what, 20 years, 25 years, I think, since the early 90s, where, you know, you actually it is something different. So I'm excited to see how it goes. I when I looked at the brackets, I thought it kind of came out pretty straightforward. I do think it's probably way more important to lobby for your team now, so it might be more important to go to an individual meeting. I don't know. That's for the smarter people to figure out.
Shane, what about you? Do you like it? Hate it? What's your thought?
Probably in the middle. I like the idea of what it's about. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of what it's trying to accomplish. I continue just to hate the procedure. I continue mm-hmm. to hate the concept of seeding and what really goes into what seed you are. And I certainly think that it's good that we've taken a look at change, but we still have a long way to go, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
Okay. Well, my second question was going to be, what would you still change?
Well, I would take it out of the human vote in terms of how subjective all these people are going to be. We're head coaches, and we're looking at it through, you know, our bio. We're mm-hmm. looking at it through our team, our league, you know. I mean, there has to be in today's technology, and as John just said, I know I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but there has to be a program and computer points or a computer taking, here's your schedule, here's strength of schedule, here's who you're beating, how many times you've won. Because, like, I'll just take Division IV, for example. How in the world are you supposed to seed one team that's 2-0 in Division IV? And another team that's like 10-10 in Division IV. You know what I mean? I don't know what that looks like. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so there has to be a different way to go about taking out the coaches voting and trying to figure out a way that it could be a little bit more cut and dry and a standings and what a standing would represent. Or if not, I think the biggest thing I think schools are going to have to look at goes back to one of my three things that people make fun of me all the time on here is about scheduling. You know what I mean? I think you are going to have to take a giant look at your schedule and start to do what's best for your program and what can put you in a position to be a little bit more successful. And I think that goes for probably about six SVC schools right now in terms of where they have some serious decisions to make in that area.
John, what about you? What would you change?
Well, Shane, you mentioned the computer element. Like, would it really be that difficult to do the exact same thing football does?
That's what I was going to say.
I mean –
well, again, I'm not smart enough. That's right. I'd have to go to like an NJ Kite or someone like that. But that's my exact point is the other thing that bothers me about it, John, I don't know how you feel about this, is, you know, we all know kind of who our opponents could be, and it's our job to scout or it's right. Our job to outwork the other coaching staff. Do we really need to know a week in advance? Like, or should we really be throwing games into this final week that maybe we didn't want on our – you know, bio or so forth. So that's another factor I've always wondered too, is, you know, how early do we need to know?
Right. I like the getting out and watching, but at the same time, if everyone's got games scheduled, like we have for the boys program, we have a game on Tuesday and Friday of that last week. Well, when are we as coaches going to be able to get out and watch?
Don't you feel like it's your job as a Unio to staff to know that, oh, okay, we could play Warren, we could play Gallia, we could play right. Benton County, we could play this team. It's your job to kind of do your homework for the last month even, you know what I mean, in terms of collecting that data. Yeah, sure.
Right. So I think – I'm pretty sure other school or other states do seed teams based on who you beat and things like that. And, yeah, not everything's even, but I don't think – I mean, you could – I mean, the Max Preps – the way they do it is kind of funky, but
sure.
But at the same time, if everyone reports their scores to a certain place, you should be able to do it. There should be a computer program they can put in. They could spit it out like later in the season, let's say middle of January, where everyone's got 12, 14 games in. And then you just go, oh, okay, well, these are the teams we might play.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, we're a little better than I thought we were. I mean, it to where, so like for a Zane Trace in the boys side, I'll use them. I mean, they lost to a state ranked Kahana Lincoln, a Chillicothe team that was state ranked for most of the year, and then a state ranked Uniota. Okay, so they're going to come in with three losses. Is that going to take them out of the one seed because they lost to three really good teams?
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't. Like, you should be rewarded for playing a better schedule. Now, I'll say on the girls' side, and this is going to go to your neck of the woods, Bruce, with Benton County, I was glad to see that they were not really hampered by their schedule. They were a little, but they still got a better seed than a team they did beat, even though they had less losses than them. I think – there's got to be a different way to do it. I mean, even if you just go to ADs, I just think with the coaches, you just have so much – there's so many other things coaches need to worry about. And then, heck, we don't even have some of the games in anyway. So if you don't play a game till – like if you play Friday, Saturday, like for next week, if a team plays Friday and Saturday, those games aren't even in. So that could be 4 to 5 games that aren't even onto your record. So that's where what you said, Shane, is really important too.
Well, wouldn't you adjust your regular season too? I mean, when you consider like what baseball does in terms of the way our league's moved up and we've kind of opened up some dates and so forth there, you know, if you knew that was the fact, that doesn't mean our league has to end this Thursday and for girls and on a Friday for boys. You see what I'm saying? Like you could move that up and you could say, hey, we're going to leave this and leave ourselves a little bit of a window there for makeups and to get ready for tournament.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a lot more that could be taken care of. I'm glad we're going in the right direction at least a little bit.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I didn't want to come across as negative there. I guess I was just saying, Bruce, that no matter what we do, I think it's a huge step in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. But I still think the same problem exists of how do you separate when you have teams that are in Division II that say play in a Division III conference, or you have a Division IV team that plays in a D2, D3 conference. How in the world are you separating a team that might, you know, be, like I said, a 2-0 in Division IV against another team that played 20 Division IV games, or on the other side, how do you separate, like, you know, just because you play all Division III teams doesn't mean you're not really, really good.
But
sometimes that's who's in your league, and then you kind of get punished for it on the other end of that, you know, when you go in with a 17-3 mark, and then you get punished for it a little bit. So, you know, those are the only things that I think – a computer could sort out in a sport like basketball, where we have, what is it, 8 games that we get to choose who we play. Well, then scheduling becomes a huge strategy that at least you would know exactly what the system is and how to best put your kids in a position to be successful.
You've always wanted the super sectional, though, correct, Shane? I mean, that's something.
Correct.
That
is correct. Okay. Yes.
So, yeah.
I certainly didn't want to come across as that. That's why I said at the very first question, I love that part.
Yeah.
I still hate kind of the way we go about getting our teams onto the bracket.
Okay. Well, and you know, this way that the way they're doing it now, you don't get those sandwiches that you used to get when you go to Jackson either.
right. I'm sitting on the computer and I've got to go make my own sandwich.
All right. Well, let's talk specifically. How much do you guys like or dislike the overall tournament bracket results for the SVC?
Well, John, I'll throw out a. I'll throw out a 5. I'll throw out I'm kind of in the middle somewhere. If I'm being fair, I think what do we have? A couple head-to-head SVC matchups. But, I mean, I guess that's just part of it. But so, obviously, we're going to lose – you know, 2 teams are going to be gone there. But I think I could see where we could get over half, maybe 5 or 6 of our teams into a sectional final. If I take off my – coaching hat for a second and just turn fan or turn, you know, SVC sports talk. If I'm being fair in terms of my basketball mind, I'd say what 2.5 would be your over under mark you'd have to set to get to a final or to a district. Is that fair, John? Or am I not?
I think so. Just cause that Adina Westfall winner. It's not like it's a great matchup with North Adams. So yeah, I think 2.5 would be a good number to put it on.
But our league has beaten North Adams some this year. Yeah, so it's doable, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna go a 4. There's 31 different seeds in Division III, and somehow 4 of our teams play each other. I mean, it's just kind of dumb luck how it kind of fit in. I do kind of feel bad for Adina facing that Westfall team a third time.
Westfall's bizarre, man. Yeah. They're talented. Marcy Dudgeon, by the way, too, John, is going to I didn't get her point total on the New Hope game, but I know she was about 30-some shy of 1,000 going into that game. So she should reach that milestone. I know we talked about that a couple weeks back. So congratulations to her. But, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you when you said Westfall Bowen to throw that in there.
Right, yeah. I knew she was getting close. You know, it's I think that we have a chance to get a couple teams to a district final. So that's why my number is actually not lower. I think Southeastern has a pretty decent chance. Unioto would have to beat a really good Vinton County team who seems to be getting healthy at the right time to get there. But, you know, it's doable. But then, of course, if either one gets there, they're going to face either an undefeated Eastern Brown or an undefeated Circleville, who's number one in the state. So the chance to get to a regional is pretty low. But, you know, it's – I've seen worse. I'm just glad that we don't have to – I mean, I guess only half the league is going to beat each other up. But, you know, I don't love it, obviously, but I do think that we got a chance to get a couple teams out to the districts.
Yeah, I neglected to give you the scale there, with 10 being the best. So Shane has a 5, and John's a 4. So I don't think you guys really like it very much at all right now. Is what I would say. Is that correct?
Well, but I'll be honest, John. I don't know. I don't speak for you. I could have almost given you my number before I ended up seeing the brackets.
Right.
I just could kind of anticipate that that's about where our league is. I agree with John. I think our top two teams, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, are tournament ready.
Mm-hmm.
They're really primed for this level of play. Now, I think what you're going to see, though, I don't want people to underestimate the value of, say, 6 teams getting to a sectional final, John, because we have a lot of youth in our league, and the value of getting to some of those games and playing in some of those matchups could be very, very valuable to this time next year.
Yeah, and even just the extra practice as well. You know, the one I really don't like in the matchups is the Edina matchup. I just keep looking at it. I'm just like, man, that's just –
Westfall's a bizarre 20 seed for sure. That's a talented basketball team.
Yeah, and I would have liked a better matchup for Westfall too, because like you said, they're a bizarre team that has some talent that really, you know, you could see them pull off an upset.
Yes.
All right. Well, good enough. And as you mentioned, next week when we record, we will have the boys' draw in hand as well. So we'll no doubt talk about that at that time. Well, guys, in a year where weather hasn't hurt us much, some schools being under the weather too much appears to be hurting the basketball season. And our third segment of the podcast brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Give Kevin's staff a call, 740-986-4653. Crown Hill Golf Club, the official golf course of SVC Sports Talk. I'm sure we're getting a big, big spiff as a result of naming that. I haven't talked to Kevin, but I'm sure he's ready to lay down big money for that sponsorship there, Shane. You can look him up on the web as well at crownhillgolfclub.com. This topic, it's got a lot of play. It's got a lot of legs. We could go for a long, long way on this one. But as we know, many schools have been out for illness, and it is what it is. I mean, you know, sometimes in some cases the teachers are ailing and not able to staff the place, and not enough substitutes and so forth. I know that's been the case around here. But the big question is, should games be allowed to play? And Shane, that's, you know, not only that, but I would even ask the question, what about practices? Should practices be allowed to happen as well? So I'll just kind of throw that guy out there to you guys and let you have at it. How's that?
I'd like to, like Shane, you said I was better at the other thing. So I'm going to say you can go first on this because you're better at explaining this as well.
Well, I think what happens here is you get, and I apologize for the lack of really intelligent terms. This is just kind of Shane talk. Like, you have an administrative answer, and then you have like my answer. So like what I mean by that is, you know, Coxie and I were having some fun on Twitter, and Coach Bum Bumgarner got involved the other day and so forth. And yeah, a lot of times what happens in these situations is when it comes to administration in 2020, you kind of like to have some cut and dry things. You kind of like to have some rules in place on here's exactly what happens. And it's my understanding that, you know, you get to certain percentages and school shut down things. You have to shut down your school. You got to get people out of there. I believe it's a 48-hour window. You're supposed to do some disinfection stuff. And that's the way it kind of goes. So that, when it comes to the sports world, is bizarre because, you know, a lot of times what happens in a school closing is, you know, you might have a lot of issues starting to grow, like you said, in the staff, Bruce. You mm-hmm. might have a lot of issues in elementary because that's where a lot of your germs are going and different things going throughout your classrooms and your school supplies and your restrooms and all those different things, the lunchroom and so forth, climbs up into the middle school, into the high school and so forth. So a lot of times when you're bringing a group of, say, 12 kids in that maybe have not been sick, a coach may get very frustrated with that. I know a lot of coaches have reached out to other schools and other venues to try to keep practicing and stay in some sort of shape and so forth. Well, what gets frustrating in the heat of a league race is schools want consistency. Schools want to know what's going on here. And what I try to explain to them is, okay, if you want the administrative approach of here's what it is, cut and dry, the end, well, we have about a week of regular season left, and you're going to be about 6-7 games behind if you're not careful here in terms of the creativity of this. You know, from what I can gather, a lot of times if you're shutting it down on a certain day and you're playing a home game, you don't want anybody in your facilities. You want out. Now, if you're playing on the road, perhaps you'd be willing to go do that. Other people say that, you know, if, you know, leading up to certain school days that we were out, okay, we were in school on Tuesday, we'll go play this road game on Tuesday. But if we're out of school on Thursday, Friday, we're not going to play on Thursday and Friday. When we get to the weekend, well, maybe it's different. Maybe it's been a 48-hour window, or maybe we followed our no school, no game policy. We're going to play on Saturday. I don't know all the right answers. All I know is that if you have the cut and dry thing, it's no different than the snow. Of, you know, if one size fits all, you're gonna have several times where certain things could have happened, but you didn't give yourself the wiggle room or the freedom to make it. So I think there's certain things that are cut and dry in terms of the education part with the ODE or the different things with some of your health laws and some of those different things that I know administration really tries to follow. But when it comes to the athletics and some of the scheduling issues, that's when it gets a little dicey. And believe me, I can totally understand if you were involved in certain things where you'd start to see a confusion. I guess so far I've been able to make sense of just about every decision. There may have been one that was a little bit confusing to me. But when I started to break it down, I could, if I agreed with it or not, I could at least understand it. So for this being so new, as I said in the opening, Bruce, to my knowledge, I don't remember this ever happening, yeah. Period. You know, not just in my 9 years on here, but I don't know that I've, in my 25 years of education and coaching, I don't know that I can recall a whole lot of shutdown for illness and sickness. So I guess that's where I come from and from this on the stance is, it's unique. It's different. There's not a lot of precedent to go on, but I guess that's where it starts with school. And Coach Bumgarner said the other day on there that, you know, more people at a game than at school. I was curious to see what game he was at, cause that'd be quite a crowd. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a lot of people. So, I think there's a lot of differences in terms of school to school and situation to situation. That's why anytime you strap yourself down into one size fits all, as I like to say, that's a tricky, tricky thing.
John, go ahead.
I am very glad I'm not a school administrator right now, because right now, like in 2020, it's got to be so hard to do, like, to do anything without having blowback from somewhere. Sure. You know, and you know, five of the eight schools are out at some point this week, actually I think at the end of the week. So I wasn't sure
what was going to happen with any of the games. All I knew was we were in school. Paint Valley was in school. Those I knew we were going to play there Friday night. That was about all I really knew. You know, it's really hard because, like you said, this is something that's never happened. I can only recall a couple times in the last, we'll say, just 5 years that even hearing of one school get shut down for illness right now, and then to have half or over half of the league being out on Friday, you know, that's just that was crazy. Hopefully it's through. I thought it was, you know, with Greenfield closing a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, it's, you know, that must be, you know, it's probably gone. And then all of a sudden it just drilled our league this weekend. But I think that, you know, it's really hard because if a school's supposed to be closed and getting disinfected, like, how can you really have practice, or how can you have a game? How can you host a game? Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's like 24 hours or whatever. I don't know all the rules and such with the ODE, but man, it's really hard because there's so many factors that go into it. I can see why someone wants to practice or maybe just have a shoot around, to keep things kind of normal for the kids. Cause if you're going to play on like a Saturday, you know, unless you can go somewhere else to practice, what do you do? So it's just, it's really difficult. I hope this is just like a one-time thing and we don't ever really see it again, but I have a feeling that it's not going to be.
Yeah. And the only other thing that I would throw out there, Bruce, is to my knowledge throughout the SVC, you know, Adina had some time off. Huntington shut down their stuff, throughout the week, but they were supposed to host twice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. John?
So they shut down. That made sense to me. Adina being the road team, Saturday being a non-school day where they felt like if Uniota felt like it was safe to, you know, host, they would play. Whereas if, you know, you go on, Paint Valley happened to play two schools that were not out. That made sense for them to play. Southeastern, again, they had their one game canceled. They decided the night before that they would go, that was on the road. So yes. then Uniota, again, the Friday night was a no-brainer. On Saturday, hey, we're hosting, it's okay. So you go through Westfall, they're in a situation where Westfall and Zane Trace were impacted together on it. I know that's the one that's been given a lot of attention. I guess I looked at it as if Zane Trace viewed Friday as their school day, that we're not going to do it. Saturday's it. Now, is there some wiggle room there that could impact a little bit? Sure. But I that's what I was saying. I could at least understand it. So, like, if I were to take the eight league schools, as John just said, I know I don't want to be an administrator. I don't have any plan of ever being. I guess I could at least relate to what was going on from a Friday, which is a school day, to Saturday not being a school day, and where you could sell it to your community a little bit more or so forth. And that's kind of where I come from. But I you hope we're done. I don't know that we are. Some schools are still out tomorrow, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I know, like at Paint Valley, Friday through Sunday morning here, man, we've had a lot of cases come in. I know Friday afternoon our attendance started to drop a little bit, and you know, I'm hearing things over the weekend. So, gosh, I obviously cross my fingers and hope that you know, that we can stay healthy and avoid this, because it's what a crazy time for it to happen. If we're looking at it from sports, what a crazy time for this to hit your basketball programs here in terms of the tournament.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Shane, you mentioned the guidelines. Is that from the Ohio Department of Education, or are those local guidelines?
Well, don't quote me on this. I tried to do some homework this afternoon. It's my understanding that if you're going to shut down school, it's a 48-hour period. That's why so many of the schools did the rest of the week. Some had a conference built in there. That sounded a little worse than it was for some schools, because some had a conference day built in this particular week. But a lot of it was a 48-hour period where you then go through a disinfection type of situation, and that's why the practices and everything are shut down. I know even the Chillicothe program, I think, even shut down their racquetball facility, which is their new athletic I don't know the official name for it, John, you know what I'm talking about, over there. Yes. That part, I'd heard that even that was shut down, because I heard even community members talking about, like, some of their Saturday morning exercise programs and stuff had been, you know, canceled and so forth. So that's my understanding on it, Bruce. And then what becomes tricky is, how are you going to handle allowing your kids to go use other facilities? Mm-hmm. And then certainly, how are you going to handle your team traveling to other schools to play? Mm-hmm. So We're in for some crazy makeup schedules here this week. And now if the other schools get it and they start to cancel it, I don't know what the answer is, because, you know, you're going to have tournaments starting here for girls in the following week. And then after that, the boys will start. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer if you end up in another week where, say, two or three more league schools get hit with this.
Well, and you still have weather hanging out there. And for us snow lovers, there's actually, looks like, looking out throughout the week, might be a couple snow chances coming in this week. So that would really compound things a lot for the SVC and for others.
Yeah, I'm seeing
as well.
That later on Friday and, Saturday? Yeah. Looks like maybe a little chance, maybe.
Yep. Got those, and boy, but I just wonder, and I know this doesn't have much to do with sports, but I just wonder if this is, it seems unprecedented, but so does the weather so far this winter. And I think we need a good cold snap to kill all these germs is what I'm kind of wondering, if that's not the case, but who knows. But good topic. I'm glad you kind of explained what you did. That helped me a little bit, and some of the review of what actually happened makes some sense as well. Well, if you've got you're listening and you've got anything you would like to talk to these gentlemen about, you may communicate by various ways. For Shane, his email address is admin1@svcsportzone.com. He's available on Twitter, where his handle is SVC Sports Zone. He's on Facebook, two profiles, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and svcsportzone.com. John's email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and on Twitter, his handle, Coconut Wall Papa. And when these gentlemen tweet about SVC Sports Talk type stuff, they use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. Good enough. You can also leave us a message on the DBK Media Services voice line, 740-569-3254. You leave it there, I'll get it to the right person. As always, we ask that you share our information on Facebook and retweet on Twitter. And if you're listening on iTunes, consider giving us a great rating and maybe even a good review. So we'll move along to final thoughts. John, what's on the plate for you this week?
We have a game Wednesday, so hopefully getting to get out and see games Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, because we're on Wednesday and Friday of the week. I'm thankful there's no more back-to-backs for us, at least. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm excited for tournament time, and I'm gonna say Chiefs 27 or 49ers 27, Chiefs 24 as my official prediction.
Okay, Chiefs 27?
Yes. Thank no, you. 49ers 27, okay. Chiefs 24.
Okay, 49ers 27.
Robbie Gold, 47-yard field goal to win it.
Okay. Shane, what about you on your plate this weekend, or this week?
Well, I think you get into tournament prep. You obviously have a league game left on the girls' side, but again, with the early next week game, you probably owe it to yourself to really start a lot of your tournament prep and a lot of those different things. So I think a lot of scouting, a lot of different hours of film and some different things going on there. Excited from a fan perspective to really start to follow some of our teams throughout the other divisions and girls and in terms of their matchups. And then the boys league, I still think, has some things to be decided, and we'll follow into that draw this week. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer to that time that I discussed. I think the other stuff I worked into the show, I certainly wanted to mention Dudgeon. Someone else asked me about Allison Basie. Mathematically, what I'd figured up, based on, you know, a sectional round somewhere in there, she's probably going to be into the 900s. I guess if they could get to like a district level, she'd have an outside shot at getting to 1,000 this year. But other than that, I don't think there's anyone else on the girls' side that I've been made aware of. If I'm missing someone there, let me know. I think Emily Coleman is kind of on pace to be about a 900-point score as well. Mm-hmm. If I'm missing something there, please let me know so that we can follow those kids. Obviously, Cam Evans, Bryce Newland are already there. Throughout the boys league, you know, again, if I'm missing someone, I know we'll have some juniors this year and some sophomores that we think are going to eventually get there in their career. But I don't know about this year unless I'm missing someone. So so there's that. I guess Super Bowl wise, I don't really know that I have a huge interest in this year's game. I think I agree with John probably from a defensive standpoint, but just if I had to sit around as a fan tonight and watch it, I kind of like the Mahomes kid. So I'll mix it up and I'll say offense wins Super Bowls instead of defense. And I'll say Chiefs, with Mahomes being the MVP, probably throwing for three and running for another. Let's give the Chiefs a 38-34 win, 38-34, because the Chiefs defense is certainly going to give up some points. So 38-34 Chiefs.
Okay, so we've got controversy broiling here, don't we?
You're just going to make it fun.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's good for ratings. Sam. All right. Anything else?
It's got to be better than last year's game. That was brutal.
Yeah, that's true. Anything else, Shane?
I think that'll do it. So, guys, we'll enjoy some football tonight. We'll get back and the basketball swing this week. Try to keep everybody healthy across the Cider Valley Conference. Again, thoughts and prayers to the Smith family and really the entire Edina community and everyone involved in that. And we'll get together next week and we'll do it again. So fans, to follow all your SVC action as well as your tournament situations, make sure you keep visiting svcsportszone.com. We'll do our best to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.